Today we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, the day when the Magi from the East came to visit and worship the Christ child. But this always begs the question for us, who were these Magi from the East? Although we commonly refer to them as kings, they were probably not actual kings. Neither Holy Scripture nor the early fathers of the church ever called them that. But somewhere along the line, it became common to call them kings, probably because of the prophecy in Psalm 72 that we sang today, where it says, "The kings of Tarshish and the Isles shall offer gifts. The kings of Arabia and Seba shall bring tribute. All kings shall pay him homage." And then perhaps also the prophecy of Isaiah that we read in today's first reading. "Nations shall walk by your light and kings by your shining radiance." So while they probably weren't actual royalty, the church does see them as fulfilling these prophecies. So there's nothing wrong with calling them kings if you want to. And we're not going to change the words of the song, "We Three Magi from Orient Are." But Scripture and the fathers do call them the Magi. And that's, sometimes it's translated as wise men, but it's a particular term and has a particular meaning. The word wise men doesn't really cover it. Magi is a particular, means a particular thing. It means a group of an educated class in Persia that were most probably priests of Zoroastrianism. As such, they would be very well educated in philosophy and astronomy, truly wise men, seekers of the truth, and so also very well read on the various religions, including Judaism. And this is probably why they followed the star. Not only did they understand all the stars in the sky because they studied astronomy, but they probably also knew about the very famous prophecy of Balaam. Balaam was a pagan prophet, but he's recorded in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament saying, "I see him but not now, I behold him but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Because of this prophecy, many pagans around that time thought that there would be a king that would come from Israel that would rule the world. And so when the Magi saw this new star in the sky, they put two and two together, and being seekers of truth and moved by the Holy Spirit, they set out. Nowadays, lots of people try to explain what the star actually was. Some say there was no star, that it's all made up, it's just pure sort of pious fiction. Others suggest it was a conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn that happened in the year 7 BC. Others say it was a supernova, others say it was a comet. But actually the fathers of the church didn't think it was anything like that. In fact, they didn't think it was a real star. As St. John Chrysostom pointed out in the 4th century, stars and comets don't move around the sky. They don't lead people places. You can't follow them anywhere. They don't disappear and reappear like this one seemed to. And most of all, they don't come to rest over specific houses in Bethlehem. So as St. Thomas Aquinas summarized, the fathers taught, it was a newly created light in the sky, as bright as a star or more, but very close to the earth, specifically created by God to guide the Magi to Bethlehem. And what did the Magi find in Bethlehem? Scripture goes on to tell us, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. It's very interesting to note that the story of the Magi is only found in Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew's Gospel is written from the perspective of St. Joseph. Remember, we don't have the Annunciation story there. We have the dream that Joseph has that he's told to marry the Blessed Mother. But here, Matthew makes no mention of Joseph, only the child and Mary, his mother. Why? Probably because the Magi were certainly aware about the very first prophecy in the Bible. That's in Genesis chapter 3, that speaks of the coming of the Messiah and his mother. It says, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. And so the Magi come searching and find the Messiah and his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what do? When they entered the house, it tells us, and they fell down and worshiped him. The Greek word here for fell down and worship literally denotes a bodily prostration in front of a divine king. It's a particular word that described that action. In other words, they fell on their faces and worshiped Jesus. And that worship continues as it tells us, then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, the gifts show the homage, the worship due to a king. They were gifts, very expensive gifts, fitting for a king. But the early church saw more than that. They saw rich symbolism in each one of the gifts. In the gold, of course, they recognized that he would be a king in this world. The frankincense symbolized Jesus as being a priest. Priests are the ones who offer the incense both literally and the incense of prayers and the smoke of sacrifices. And then finally, myrrh. Myrrh was the oil that would be used to anoint the body of very rich people when they died. It was a burial anointment. And Jesus, as Scripture tells us, when Joseph of Arimathea came, he came with myrrh to bury Jesus. And so the myrrh points out that the baby Jesus will be the Jesus who is destined to die on the cross. And then it tells us, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. We see how they're still open to the Holy Spirit's movement in their hearts. And so they're spared of having to go back to Herod, who knew that they would be lying if they wouldn't tell him where he was. And so Herod, who was a vicious man, would have probably had them killed. And so they went home, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Scripture, while Scripture is silent about what happened to them after this, there's a very strong early tradition that tells us that when they went home, the three Magi, Melchior, Balthasar, and Gaspar, gave away everything they had to the poor and spent the rest of their lives proclaiming the birth of the Savior. The traditions also go on to tell us that 40 years later, the Apostle St. Thomas went to the East. As we know, he evangelized India and all that area in the East. The tradition tells us that he baptized them and ordained them as priests. And then one medieval account goes on to tell us, and I'm going to quote, having undergone many trials and fatigues for the gospel, these three wise men met in 54 AD to celebrate the feast of Christmas. Thereupon, after the celebration of Mass, they died. Beautiful story. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. If it isn't true, as they say, it ought to be. So what do we learn from the whole story of the Magi? First, we remember that they're Gentiles, not Jews, but Gentiles. But they were searching for the truth, and they found it. In other words, they were the first converts to the faith. There will always be wise men in every age who are searching for the truth. And that truth has a name, Jesus, even though they don't know it. They are in our midst today, and it's wrong for us not to bring them to Jesus and to bring Jesus to them. It is wrong not to evangelize everyone, especially at Christmas, when so many people have had their hearts opened to the truth about Jesus by the sentimentality and all these other things of the season. And especially children. We need to evangelize children and fallen away Catholics. And perhaps most especially, we have to evangelize our Protestant brothers and sisters who truly loved Jesus but lacked the fullness of the truth about him. But to do that, we must also be like the Magi and remember the importance of our own continuing study of the faith, and so continuous growth in our knowledge of and love for Jesus. And remember, with all of their learning, there was a purpose to it. They had learned about the star, and when they saw it, they responded, they got up and followed it wherever it led them. So for us, we need to remember it's not enough just to know our faith, but we have to respond to our faith. So for example, Jesus teaches us to love those in need. We know that. We believe that. But when someone in need comes to us and asks for help, how do we respond? Or when the Lord calls you to do something specific for him, how do we respond? Let's say, for example, you're retired and you get invited to volunteer in the parish, or some other charity or some other opportunity to serve God comes up, how do you respond? You respond by saying, hey, I'm retired. I don't have to do any of that anymore. No. Or let's say you love the faith and you're single and you feel maybe you might be called to the priesthood or religious life. How do you respond to that? Whatever it is, it's not enough just to be a Catholic. Like the Magi, Catholics also have to follow Jesus when he says, okay, now I want you to do this, or now I want you to do that. You have to respond. You have to follow him. And also notice that when the star seems to have disappeared, when they got to Jerusalem, right, the Magi didn't give up. Instead, it says they started asking around, where is the newborn king of the Jews? They kept searching, but in a different way. And God rewarded them for their perseverance. The star came back, and it says, and they were filled with joy. Sometimes we have, if you will, stars in our lives that lead us to Jesus. And then sometimes they seem to disappear. But we must also endure in the faith. For example, maybe we've been inspired by truly holy priests and bishops that we've known. Maybe some of the saints, or maybe just, you know, our pastors or priests that we've known in our lives. They've been like bright stars that led us to Jesus. But then we hear about the scandalous behavior of other truly unholy priests and bishops, and the star seems to fade or disappear. But when that happens, we can't give up. We just keep on searching as best we can, because it's not really the stars that we're seeking. It's Jesus that we're seeking. And in his own time, if need be, he will send us some other sort of new star to guide us to him. Or maybe sometimes you just seem to go through a period of emotional or spiritual dry spell, a sort of dark night of the soul. But we persevere, we keep praying, and we don't give up. And then suddenly the darkness lifts, and the light shines through the darkness. The Magi also remind us of the centrality of worship for Catholics. They come from hundreds or thousands of miles away to worship Jesus. We complain that we have to drive, 20 minutes to spend some time with Jesus at Mass or praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And the first thing they do when they arrive is they prostrate themselves before the little baby. Do we prostrate ourselves before him, both in our hearts and in our bodies? The Magi understood the importance of their physical expression of what was going on in their hearts. If you will, they prostrated their bodies to show and to express the prostration of their hearts, falling on their knees and even on their faces to say to Jesus and to themselves, you are God, King of the universe, and I am not. Do we make this connection ourselves? At Mass, when you kneel down, are you just doing it because everybody else is, or that's the way you've always done it? Are you truly prostrating yourself, body and soul, before your beloved Jesus? And when you leave here standing on your own two feet, does that prostration remain in your heart as you go out into the world, into the day or into the week? And do we bring him gifts? And gifts, the very best gifts we can. First, you give Jesus yourself, your very life, by living your life the way he taught us to, by trying our very best to offer him ourselves, our love, and to offer him the love we have for our neighbor. And to try our very best to keep all the commandments completely, without exception. But also, do you place everything you have at his disposal? You know, he didn't give you what you have just because he thinks you're really great. If you're rich, if you have a good living, if you're comfortable, he didn't give that to you because you're better than other people. He gave it to you for a reason. Do you place your gold, your money, your time, your talent at his disposal? Doesn't mean you have to give away everything, but are you open to him telling you, here, help this person, help this organization, whatever? Or am I being selfish, holding tight to my things for my own pleasure, my own judgment, or my own fears? And do I burn my incense before him? Do I give myself to him in prayer and worship? Is the Holy Mass something I simply endure? Or is it a gift of praise as I offer myself up to be united to the sacrifice of the cross? And do I sanctify every day by constantly remembering his presence and praising him? And finally, the wise men remind us that it all doesn't end at Christmas. They went back and spread the gospel, telling people in a strange country about this Jewish Savior of the world. They were not ashamed, even though the Jews were looked down upon by the other countries. They had been subjugated by everybody for 500 years. Who thought a Messiah would come from there? But they weren't embarrassed to tell people that they believed. When we leave the church today, what will we do? When Christmas is over, what will we do? The lesson of the Magi isn't just to come and adore Jesus, as important and necessary as that is, but also to go out and bring others to adore Jesus. As we now move more deeply into the mystery of the Holy Mass, let us place ourselves and know that we are truly in the presence of all the saints, including the three Magi. May they guide us, as once the star guided them, to come before the King of the universe as we approach him on the altar, as they once approached him in Bethlehem, in his true body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Eucharist here. And may we imitate them, prostrating ourselves in worship and offering ourselves to him. And with Saints Melchior, Balthasar, and Gaspar, and with his Holy Mother Mary, may we leave here today proclaiming the coming of the Christ and his message, his gospel of salvation, in everything we say and do, to all we love, and to all we meet, to all who are searching for the truth, whose name is Jesus. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.